Welcome.
Wait, was that it?
That was it. Oh no, wait, okay, do you want me to
it
do
more? It wasn't very loud. I think you should do a louder one.
Play some tunes, play some tunes.
How was that?
That was lovely. That was...
Thank you.
Yeah, man, rock on, baby.
Welcome.
Brand new year, same us, unfortunately.
I know you're making a joke of it and you're saying same us, but can we just describe how we look right now since you can't see us?
Roisin is in
like a ski top, like Aztec print, which I actually think is really nice, by the way.
Thank
you. Look great.
I know, it is quite a lot. It's the sort of thing, this fleece that I got for it is from ASOS, actually, if you want to buy it. But this fleece is the sort of thing that, see, if my mum tried to make me wear it when I was like 8, I would have actually been like physically sick and I'd have lay on the ground and I would have kicked and screamed. But now that I have like free will, I just choose to wear it.
By the look of things, when I was younger, I had no say in what I wore because my mum, she worked in a sports shop and she literally would dress me in like Sergio Tacchini and I just looked like a wee boy.
But I sometimes think it's better if you have no say in what you wear when you were younger, because I did have a say in what I wore because I was a fucking horror. So my mum just gave in and let me wear whatever I wanted, and now I look back on it and I can't cherish my childhood pictures because I look fucking like I've escaped from Shutter Island. Whereas if I just listen, and like all the other girls whose mum just dressed them, they all look cute and stuff. Did I ever tell you about the phase when I would not wear a bra?
No. Oh no, I think you did. Did you not say that when you started to
It went on for quite
tits,
a long time.
You were like, you couldn't, like you wanted to be sick because you were the only one out of you and your mates that was starting to grow tits.
I should have worn one probably 3 years earlier than I did. And then I went to...
How are those puppies looking now?
Like snookerballs, so... There's pictures of me on holiday when I'll put these on the podcast Instagram at Nags and Brags Podcast. That was a seamless transition. There are pictures of you when I went to Florida. See, when I was younger, I swear to God, I was about 5'9". I know I'm only 5'3" now, but I honest to God was about 5'9" when I was 12. Don't ask me. I know it doesn't make sense.
No, I used to have size 7 feet and now they're size 6. They've definitely shrunk.
We are shrinking. We've got apparently that happens if you're not a nice person. You get the shrinks. But anyway, I went through a phase where I would not wear a bra when I should have worn a bra. Like I didn't have like big honkers, like big double Ds, but I just should have at least a crop top, right? Like something should have been worn. And I went to Disneyland, and this is why you should always thank your parents' intervention with your outfits, because I was wearing a pair of... They were pyjamas. I was wearing a pair of pyjamas. It was like a pyjama vest that said, like, Silly Moo on it, which for some God's forsaken reason, I was had formed this support
but
emotional
kind of thing,
attachment to.
But that's the kind of thing that drew you in when you were younger. Phrases like that on tops were
and
the best.
And I wore these tiny shorts, bearing in mind I'm 5'9" at this point in my life, white as a sheet, pair of jammies, no bra, know what I finished the look with? Leg warmers, matching pleated hairband, and a pair of pumps. What the fuck? Honestly. Wow. It was so
leg
bad.
Leg warmers on holiday?
I want to give you a zero. That's not possible. Sorry. And
give
do you know
you
what?
One.
I'll give you a one. And see on TikTok when people are saying, oh, I know what's coming into back into style. Leg warmers and ballet pumps. And I thought, no, you did not. It's on it unlocked a physical response in my body, a trauma response. I was like, they cannot come back. They cannot come back.
Do you think that though you'll get the same vibe with the Crocs in years to come?
I don't know, because actually I'm wearing my Crocs as we speak. I find them very comfortable, and I think with the right outfit. But I just don't think, well, I don't have the legs for them anyway, but I just don't think ballet pumps and leg warmers look good on anybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. It's
I know,
not
but
a look.
The thing is, like, my mum said this to me. She was like, you'll wear things now and in years to come they'll come back round again. So like things that I would wear going on nights out, my mum would say to me, "What? That was out in my day." But they must reinvent, because I always, do you know what I find quite fascinating, right? What makes the mind find something that you wear attractive? Is it because of the influence of others? Is it because when I buy stuff, like, I look back on it now, and you're going to do it. You'll do it in 10 years. You'll look back and go, what the fuck was I wearing back then? Because I do it now. Yeah, because I do it now with the clothes that I used to wear.
But fashion's fashion's like circular, so.
No, I know, but then I look at my mum's stuff that she wore when she was younger, like in the 80s, and I'm like, oh my god, you were so trendy. Mum had like white jumpsuits that looked like kind of like draped curtains, but so sexy and slender. I'm like, you look great.
It was my mom's in the 80s.
How many hearts you breaking wearing that, Lorraine?
I would like to kick off 2022 with a nag, of course, because I will never change. And I am very cynical. And do you know what my nag is? I keep getting spam emails about penis enlargements.
No, I think I get the same.
Oh my god, you get it.
Wait.
Who put our name down? Who put our name down for the enlarged penises? Do you know what? I don't know if your email does this, but my email, everything that's not junk goes to my junk. And everything that's in my main inbox is either funeral care, penis enlargement, or hair regrowth.
Yeah, like I've got an email here from the squirting school.
Ooh. That was me.
Yeah, increase size. Hit this pressure point to increase your size by 67%.
Right, do you want me to read you through my junk email? So, male elongator, not feeling confident in bread. And I feel very confident around bread, so that's the problem. Not feeling confident in bed, no prescription needed. So I have one for that. Then I have your funeral plan. Then I have you've won a Samsung TV. Eliminate fat fast. I will probably actually click on that one. Last longer in bed. German adult film star. Extension secret unlocked. Penis size. Stop disappointing people in bed, Roisin.
Oh my god.
Hair loss solution.
How
do they know that I am a bald man with a small penis? No, do you know what? I am on that. No, I'm taking my email out my Instagram. Because somebody's messing with me.
So is that where they're getting it from?
Well, I don't know, maybe. Maybe if that's like somebody signing me up to the penis enlargement. But I don't know, like, I don't feel like if I was a man, I'd have a tiny penis. No, actually, I probably would. Because I remind myself quite often of Stuart Little.
How?
I don't know, I just feel like me, Stuart Little, SpongeBob, all these sort of people are like 6 degrees of separation. So for that reason, I believe if I was male, I would have a penis.
I think if I was male, I don't know about my penis size, but I would definitely be some sort of gamer or something like that. Like, see, going by, because I tried really hard when I was younger to come out of a sort of tomboy phase. Like, I was, like, I dressed like a tomboy, like, I played PlayStation all the time.
Was it inspired by Avril Lavigne? Because if so, I had the same encounter.
Not really. It wasn't really inspired by anyone. It was just the way it went. I had a cousin who was 4 weeks older than me. He was a boy, and anytime I went round to his, it was all just like Diet Coke, burping crisps and PlayStation.
That's all life needs to be. That's all life
I actually
be.
Loved it, to be fair.
It's like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Yeah. Diet Coke, burping crisps and gaming.
Nowadays, it gives me that pub vibe where you open the crisps in the middle of the table, everyone takes some, you have nice chilled Diet Coke with ice. But back then it was chilled cans, like so many. He was diabetic,
always prefer
so it had to be diet.
A Diet Coke out of a can. Not that anybody asks.
Well, no, I like a draft. I'm a bit of a classy girl. I said that. I was out last night for something to eat with Callum, and the waitress was like, Diet Coke, would you like bottle or draft? I was like, give me draft.
You know what I hate? Here's another nag while I'm on one. When people call regular... Right, so I used to be a regular Coke drinker. I feel bad. I feel shame saying that. Like, I'm at AA. I mean, you can probably tell. But anyway, I used to enjoy a regular Coke. I still do, but actually I'm going through a Diet Coke phase. I actually don't drink fizzy drinks because I'm addicted to them. That's by the by. So if I am having one as a treat, I would have a regular Coke. No, I hate when people shame you and they say, is that diet or a full fat? Do you want a full fat Coke? Do you want a fat Coke, you fat bitch? I hate that. I'm like, why don't you just say a normal Coke? Why don't you just say a regular Coke? Do you want a fat Coke with that? With your fat head? Your fat tits? Because you never wore a bra for years? Do you know what? I don't know. It triggers something inside me. It does my nothing. I'm like, shut up.
So that's what's put you onto the diet stuff, though. She's
it probably has.
But no, but not only helped. No, but not helped weight. More cholesterol. Like, if you be,
that's
if
true. I wasn't drinking loads of normal Coke. Like, I'm not actually addicted to normal Coke. But I just hate how you can't enjoy one without being reminded. I mean,
being judged.
Without being judged. Do you know what? We've got fucking sugar tax. So I'll pay that. And that's fine. You don't need to shame me in front of the table. Do you want I always used to say when I was a waitress, do you want a regular Coke? Because I used to think I'm one of you.
I'm just a regular girl drinking regular Coke. like you with my regular friends.
Nothing to see here.
See, I don't know if I told you this, but from the age of about 7, I started drinking like Diet Coke because I had no choice, because my cousin, who I told you about, Jason, hi Jason, he will not listen to this, he was very obviously just like, well, we were told at a young age that he couldn't have sugar, so like it was when like parents had to sit you down and say, basically Jason is diabetic, but that means, kids, he can't have sweets, so nobody's allowed to feed Jason any sweets, okay?
Shout out to Diabetic Abby, my best friend.
The memory that I have of Jason and I, and something that stands out from when I was younger, was we were at my gran's and we were both staying there on a Saturday night, and my gran lived in a street of about 10 houses, right? And we would go out and play in the street, and this was like maybe about a week after he was diagnosed with diabetes, and I knocked every door in my grand street and dragged Jason with me and told him that they were not allowed to give Jason any sweets.
I love that. That is girl boss energy.
I was like, I would knock the door, go, hi, this is, because Jason was quite quiet and I was quite loud, as you can tell, and I was like, Jason is not allowed sweets, so you, this is 7 years old, cannot give my cousin any sweets, any chocolate, any full fat Coke. You can't do it.
Full fat.
You'll kill him and he will not, he will die. Don't do it.
Do you know what? That's, I also like that, passing the blame. Passing the blame. Because do you know what? If one of them gave him sweets or regular Coke, at least you've done your part. You've washed your hands of that, of Jason.
What do you mean? Like, oh, like, so, like, I, oh, so you, I don't have any, like, so that,
yeah, you, you warned them.
No,
yeah,
guilt. Yeah.
You warned them. I'm pretty sure the postman at my grand just feed me jelly babies out his pocket. That's disgusting.
See, that's the kind of guy that had killed my cousin.
Not on your watch. Not on my watch. Would you like to give me your first nag or brag of 2022? I don't know why I'm in the habit of saying it like that, but now I can't stop.
So are we parking like old nags from 2021? Are we not allowed to talk about them? Is there a ban on them? Because I had a massive one before I went on holiday.
Oh no, there's no ban.
Company. Right.
Oh yeah. Okay. I love a company outage.
Great, because I'd love to do it here.
Let's do it.
Before I...
where we have no
holiday,
money for them to sue.
You may have seen from the Nags and Brags Instagram page that I went to New York. So, yes, managed to get there in one piece, came back. Very jet-lagged, very tired, but here. But before I went to New York, I want to moan about the company lastminute.com. Please do not, if you're thinking about it, book with these absolute cowboys, because it was meant to be me and my mates that were going away to New York, right? So I know that you might have seen pictures of me and my fiance, but it's meant to be me and my mates. Cut a long story short, two of them couldn't come because of Omicron. I'd paid for one of my friends to go, but I understood that they were a bit scared about that, but I'd already had it, so I was okay. But I tried to move the flight, I tried to change the name, I tried to do everything in my power to basically change that trip, but also keep my money, and they wouldn't do it. So I'm kind of having a nag about that, but also, like, I managed to go, and Callum felt sorry for me and booked on with me because I was going to go on my own, and last minute were okay with that as well. So that
just
is my nag.
Just going to say that you did not ask me to come with you.
No, but you'd have had to pay for yourself because I couldn't get a name change.
That's true. I had £46 in the bank, but that's not important.
And I'd have paid for you, but I'd already paid, like,
I
for two flights.
Don't be... I would be like that. Oh,
Roisin, I'd have you there in a heartbeat. I'd have loved it with... In fact, no. I would have enjoyed it more with you than I would with Callum. I'll say it there. I hope Callum doesn't hear this. Just, yeah, it really pissed me off. And I just think companies need to be a little bit more accommodating in a pandemic. Full stop. That's it.
That's what puts me off going for a holiday through the whole pandemic. I couldn't do it. I couldn't deal with the hassle. I couldn't deal with the PCR test.
It was a hassle that I can't even, I'm not going to lie. Like,
was
obviously
it?
The pictures that
was
went
it a hassle at the airport
rosy.
And stuff?
I sometimes think I would like to document it on my Instagram and give you every single bit of it, but I'm not really that person. Like, I don't put a
you
lot up.
You should become
up.
A vlogger.
No, I can't be bothered, Roisin.
I would love to go on holiday, but I would just be too stressed. I find it stressful enough. I'm the sort of person that would book the flights for the wrong year. So I already feel sick when I've booked something because it's just so much pressure. So if I had to do a PCR test, oh God, I would have a meltdown.
Yeah, I think now when I look back, like Callum said to me on the way back, he's like, do you think you would have survived on your own? And I'm like, yes, 100%. Yeah, I would have survived. No, I wouldn't have. I'd have.
So how was your flight?
Fine, it was quiet going out.
Was that a big plane?
Yes, it was a big plane.
Did you watch any films?
No, because all the films that they had, I'd pretty much seen, like the good ones, and then I decided to delete lots of photographs in my camera roll, and it took me 3 hours because...
Classic. I know. Classic plane move.
Yes.
Get the iCloud photos up. I just think there's something, I don't know, I'm scared of flying anyway, but I would get more scared of flying going to New York.
Why?
Don't know if I should out myself like this. Do you know what it is? I don't know if I should say this. It's true. I don't know if anybody else gets this. I don't know if I'll get cancelled for saying this. Do you know what it is? It's because I can imagine the headline on the news if the plane went down. But sometimes for some destinations, I just can't imagine the headline. So I'm like, I don't think it'll happen. E.g. Thompson's plane crashes on way to Mallorca. Doesn't have the same ring to it. Doesn't, does it?
Yeah, but then if you do some like random airline somewhere else in the world, you think like if it crashes into, I don't know, like a mountain range, you think now that you can get on board with. See what I did
yeah,
there?
Like, hey. Oh my God, not getting bored
with. I did say to my pals, I was like, do you know, so much has went wrong with this trip already that I feel as if like that's the next thing that's going to happen. So like, I think that God is trying to tell us all not to go. I'm going against what God is telling
don't
us.
Don't do that, because I would end up not going for that sort of reason.
No, but that played in my mind. So I've got the same mindset as you. Like, I thought, well, it's not that I thought the plane was going to crash. I just thought, like, there's something telling me not to go, but I'm going against all of it and just going, I'm off.
Here's a question for you. If you ask all my friends this, if you were about to go on a plane and you had a really, really bad feeling, would you go on it?
But what's the bad feeling? Like, I'd either have to have something physical that happens to the plane to make me think this is not right. No. If I just had like a normal, like a weird thing.
No,
that
if you had like a bad feeling, like you were overcame with.
But how would that happen? But then I think, well, it's written in the stars.
So you get
on the plane. You're meant to get on the plane. You're meant to get on the plane.
Interesting. See, I would say I'm the sort of person that would say I wouldn't get on a plane if I had a bad feeling about it. But
you never
I have
go on holiday.
No, but I have, well, this is the thing. So I have had a bad feeling about every plane I've ever got on.
Well, there and you I go. Still and you still got on it.
Well, I know. So I'm the sort of person, I'm like, no, if I had a really bad feeling, I wouldn't get on it. But no, I probably, but also like, I'm usually going on family holidays. Mom and dad would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I have had really bad feelings on planes before. Like,
do you know
really
what?
Bad. I'm terrified of flying. There was one that I was like, this is the end. I'm going down. And then I landed and I was like, oh, okay, that was a bit much. And then I was thinking, maybe, I just don't know what is intuition and what is like chronic anxiety. And I think for me, it's chronic anxiety. People are always like, listen to your gut. And I'm like, see, if I listen to my gut, I would never leave the house again.
You'd, I know, stay in the house and hide under a sheet.
Yeah, I would. That would be me. People are like, that gut feeling. And I'm like, what gut feeling? What gut feeling?
But that's why I'm asking you. You're saying like if you got a really bad feeling, like what is a really bad feeling?
I feel like you'd know it if you had it.
I'll look out for it.
Would you like to give us a brag?
A brag? My brag is that I have no New Year's resolutions. And to the people who are... life coaches, or maybe you are a psychologist, this could be alarming because you should always try and grow better yourself. I just don't want any this year. I'm just going to see how it goes. And the reason that I know I've got no New Year's resolutions is because I've started as I mean to go on. Put on a little bit of weight, but I'm okay with that. I had a really good food-filled festive period. I've ate so much chocolate in the past like couple of days, and now what's this, we're into the second week of January. It's my birthday next week. I've made no plans.
Yeah, it's hard to have New Year's resolutions though if your birthday's in January. Do you know what I've found that I need to, when you were saying a food-filled festive period? Oh, that was a lot of F's. Boursin cheese. Boursin?
Boursin? No, I don't know.
That fucking spready garlic cheese.
Oh,
I was inhaling it. Honestly, I may as well have been injecting it into my veins over Christmas.
Oh, nice.
You need to.
Thanks for
not nice.
Thanks for
not nice, actually.
Filling me in.
You're welcome. But I'm going to have to make a New Year's resolution to wean myself off it.
Do you want me to take you around people and say, don't feed Roisin?
Yeah, take me around the streets.
Cheese.
Don't feed her cheese. I would actually be up begging. I'd be like, please, please. this is also me who's supposed to be lactose intolerant. But I, so I think that we're saying that you shouldn't make New Year's resolutions because it, or maybe you should make one or two. See, I'm the opposite of you. I have about 25 New Year's resolutions every year. And maybe stick to one. I'll probably stick to about one a year. But I just, I like lists that I know I can't finish. So like I'll have loads of New Year's resolutions and then inevitably I will fall off the bandwagon and not complete them all. And that is definitely more psychologically damaging.
But this is why I've not got them, because I just, I'll just disappoint myself. I mean,
I know. I'll make
a mental note of some of them. And if I start to put them into practice, I'll be like, cool, proud of that, great. But if not, I'm not going to beat myself up.
I love this. I wish I was like you. That's another New Year's resolution. Be more like Cassie. But my New Year's resolutions are always really boring. They're always just like literally what everybody else's are. But I want to read more. That's one of my New Year's resolutions. I'm actually quite a fast reader when I can get into it. But otherwise, I just get too distracted.
Yeah, I think that was one of mine like 2 years ago, and I'm still not really, like, I've tried, but I've just become distracted. I'm so easily distracted.
Reading stuff. Something. I always wanted to do that when we had the first lockdown. I was like, I'm going to read loads. But then sometimes I feel like if I'm in a situation where I'm forced to do something, I can't do it. But if I have loads of other things on, I'm like, why don't I take myself to a quiet place and read a book? But if I have nothing to do, I'll be like, I'm going to stare at the wall.
I think actually as well, one of my brags, which kind of involves you, is your trip with your pals totally inspired me to see more Scotland. So actually I said I had no plans for my birthday. What I meant is like I've not organized anything with the girls or whatever, but I'm gonna go up to Skye this weekend with Callum.
Oh, that'd be so nice. I'll make this my brag. I had a lovely trip with my friends, which I conveniently made look very wholesome online, but it was actually a riot. Do you know what, I nearly knocked my teeth out, and I tell you something, that would have humbled me very quickly.
One of my biggest fears is losing teeth.
Oh my god!
In accidents.
Mine is getting my hair shaved at a sleepover. I might have to take that out in case it happens. But I was doing. Do you know what I actually said to the video? Because I was doing the worm, and I can actually do the worm. But I don't know what happened. So basically, backstory of this was, we went on a big trip to Aviemore. We'd been before to this lodge, and it was in a place called Inch, but and it's in the middle of like fucking the arse end of nowhere. Well, it's not, it's an inch, but anyway, it's in the middle of nowhere, so there's nobody about, so you can make as much noise as you want. So we were like, we'll go up, be really fun. It was really fun, but had a bit of a left in a bit of a sour note with the Airbnb owner, but we'll get to that. But I didn't know anything about business. I was like, what has that got to do with the price of fish? I don't... Anyway, I'll get onto that. But anyway, so went on this big trip, went to Aviemore. Here's another brag. One of my pictures of me and Lucy went viral on Instagram. Over 70,000 people have seen it. Random.
What?
Very...
Where?
Yeah, how weird is that? It was of me and Lucy in the mountains. So basically...
Is this on your page?
Yeah. And we went tubing, which was so fucking fun. If you ever go to Aviemore, go to tubing in the Cairngorms. I believe you can do it all year round, but it was just nice that it was all snowy. But you should do it because it was wonderful. And it was only £10 per person. This is not an advert, but it was really worth doing. I went back, there was a hot tub, and I can't really swim. I was doing flips in it. I was doing forward flips. So I hit my head
in
a hot
really
tub.
You don't have to swim to get in a hot tub.
No, but you need to swim if you can. You need to be able to have some awareness in the water if you're going to put yourself upside down in a very confined space. I'm also claustrophobic and I'm scared of drowning. But if I was drinking gin and wine, so this was the issue. This is why I don't drink gin. And I was doing the worm, but I was doing it from, which I would have loved to be able to do again because I don't know why I wasn't scared, but I was doing it from standing and I was like jumping to the ground. So then I thought what would be a really, really good idea was if I did the worm forwards, also known as the caterpillar to my friends that are comfortable on the dance floor. Face fucking hit right off the ground. Nearly broke my nose.
Shit.
Honestly, I wish I had it on video. It was like that TikTok and then my head hit the wall. Boom. I was out the game and I was thinking, I've broke my nose and I've gonna knock my teeth out. But miraculously, I was okay. But it was very fun but then we got into a bit of a fight with the Airbnb owner, who shall not be named for legal reasons. And
right, give us a tea, because this is the part that I wanted to know about.
Well, basically, the hot tub is actually very boring, but the hot tub didn't work for one of the nights because she'd, like, just cleaned it. And I was like, well, could you not have just cleaned it before we were, like, not just coming? And like when we got there, the hot tub said ice on it. So that's actually not a hot tub. That's cold water therapy, which we could do in the fucking lock. So the hot tub didn't work for a night. They just had a bit of an attitude, a bit passive aggressive, I thought. And I just felt like, you know, if you feel like somebody's doing you a favour. It was almost as if we were like in her house and like exercising squatters' rights to be there. And I was like, we've actually paid £900 for this, so can you show a bit of enthusiasm? And then she left me a review. She said I was very respectful and lovely. And I said, thank you. And then
come on the podcast and start slagging this poor woman?
No, because then this is when it got crazy, because I left a review and it was very honest. And I said, look, we paid for two nights for a house with a hot tub. We could only use the hot tub for one of these nights, so we should have got money off. See, I love a complaint when the time is right. We should have got money off, and just felt like, but she was arguing with people in the comments, and then she just said like, basically like you're and we had a big thing when we arrived, because the Airbnb profile had said like, oh, just let yourself, like it said we've updated how we check in due to COVID, but that was all it said. And I was like, well, that's absolutely fucking useless. Then it said phone the housekeeper on arrival, so I did, but she didn't answer me. I phoned once, I phoned twice, I phoned thrice, I texted her, she didn't answer. Apparently she had COVID, but that would have been good to know. So anyway, me and Lucy are in Aviemore in the pitch black, locked out. And I don't know, I feel like there still might be wolves up there. Cannot confirm nor deny in the pitch black. And you know, I've watched a lot of documentaries about a lot of shit, and I was like, oh God, this is where it ends. But anyway, we had to phone the owner. She told us where the key thing was, but she basically said in the review on the way back that I couldn't read. And she said I was unable to read instructions and I had no idea how businesses run, because we were a group of youngsters.
Like, is this public?
Like, well, this is public. She said this to me publicly.
And said you were a youngster.
She was like, youngsters have no idea how businesses run. Shooting yourself in the fucks, it's not very hospitable. It's not very hospitable, is it? So that was my weekend. But now I'm doing dry rest of January.
Well, I'm now worried because I have got like the instructions for this weekend, the place that I'm staying in, but already the hosts they're very hospitable. They've given, you know, like almost every single detail. So here's hoping that...
Can't relate.
Outdoor bath.
Oh, outdoor bath,
which you don't
lovely.
Really need to...
See, a cold hot tub, you can't have a cold hot tub.
No, you can't. No, and I actually agree with you with that one. Like, I wouldn't be happy if I'd paid for two nights and got there and could only get the hot tub for one.
Well,
partly
the
reason that you booked the place is to get the hot
tub. Well, this was our point. But it wasn't even like, see if she was like, oh, do you know what? I'm not even asking for money off. See if she was like, so there was nobody in it for the week after us. See if she was like, oh, you can check it whatever time you want on Sunday, or you can use it. Or even if she said, I'm really sorry, but she just said, well... it's in the T's and C's, so it's not really my problem. And I thought, do you know what? It's not the attitude. It's not the attitude, babe. It's not your attitude out. So I wondered if when you were in NYC, the Big Apple, if you used your 24 hours in a day wisely, and if you saw...
So firstly, I didn't see Molly Mae.
Miss Molly Mae.
Can we talk about this? What has happened here?
Oh,
because I've got actually conflicting views on it.
Hit me with them.
So I follow Stephen Bartlett. I like him. And I think he had been showing off clips ages ago. And
was it not new?
No, they recorded the podcast, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago?
It's really crazy how these things can just...
I know, it's TikTok.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, it came back up. And my thoughts about it were... kind of got what she was trying to say, but I think she said it in the wrong way is basically it. You know, the view about her being young and just trying to inspire people, I think that was her intentions. The bit that I don't deny is the fact that she's had a privileged life. Like, she has had a privileged life.
I think, the problem was that she said it again. Like, she said that before in an interview and got slaughtered. And she even said that herself in that clip. Like, oh, I said this before and people gave me a really hard time. And then she just said it again. And I was like, well, you're not listening to what people are trying to say to you if you... I just think if it's such a... It's a really not even immature, it's just a really sheltered
It's interesting opinion. Because I think as well what's happened, people are saying she's not had to work hard. And I do agree with that to a degree because she's not worked the way, like there's not much manual labour involved with what she's doing. You know, if you compare it to somebody that works on a ward in a hospital.
Like physically.
Physically putting in, right? When I see her on a red carpet and somebody brings up Love Island, I see her squirm a wee bit like she doesn't want to talk about it. So I think good on her for getting to where she is by the age that she's at, or the age that she is. But I do think like she has to accept that Love Island did give her a platform, because she said as well in that interview that she still thinks she'd have made it if she hadn't been on Love Island. Yeah, probably slower, but I don't think she'd have got some of the brand deals that she got. I think everything worked hand in hand to get her to the top.
Yeah, so I totally agree with you. And I also, like, I get that she's saying, like, her point is that Love Island was a business move. That's not an achievable business move for your Joe Bloggs. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not, like, see if I was like, oh, do you know what? I am really going to take it to the next level. I'll just go on Love Island. Like, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The average person can't just be like, oh, I'm going to go on Love Island as a business move. Because, and then also, I get that maybe she's saying, like, look at where, because obviously, like, a lot of the, like, guys that were on Love Island are, like, out, like, still punting, like, tanning gummies and all that sort of stuff. So I get that maybe she's saying that from, she's really levelled up from our Love Island co-stars. But, like, why is that? Like, you need to look at, like, why. I just think it's a really ignorant view to think you got something 9 times out of 10 because you worked harder. Like, I don't think you can say that if you're...
These podcasts are always going to be not there to catch people out, but the more you say,
yeah,
the more people have to go on. If she'd answered and said, I'm successful because it's an amalgamation of factors like I've got a good manager, I went on Love Island, I had a following already on social media.
Yeah, I'm white. I'm very conventionally beautiful. I'm thin. Like, there's all of these things.
And then said it, like, stopped it at that. I think as well.
She's obviously clever. She's obviously a clever girl.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. Like, she's managed to work it in a great way. But I think as well, like, what people have to take away from it is there's so many different people with different views in this world of what wealth and success is. So what is wealth and success to one person is different to another. So Molly May was quite open and honest about she's never going to stop because she wants more. Well, is that more money? Like, because if it's more money, it's not necessarily going to make her happy. I do agree that money can help with happiness. Like, I'm not one of these people that's like, money doesn't make you happy. Money helps with making people happy because it gets them things that maybe they might not be able to get had they not have the cash. But I think that, like, to say that all you're ever going to want is more tells me that you are not always going to feel fulfilled. Like, you're not.
I agree. And I also think, did you shout out to the Hush Hush
podcast? This has got very serious, by the way.
I know, but I sort of quite like these conversations. But then, shout out to the Hush Hush gals, because they spoke about this. But did you see the interview with Molly May about how she spoke about how she doesn't have any friends? Like,
yes,
I know she's friends with,
clip,
like, Mona.
Yeah.
That made me so sad. Because I do think, like, when she was saying about how, like, she didn't really have time for friends and stuff because she was so busy, like, to me, that is not the trademark of a successful person. Like, I would feel after, like, I know I went to fucking Aviemore and I'm not shut up about it, but, like, see the weekend that I had in Aviemore. All the money in the world couldn't, well, if I had all the money in the world, we'd have fucking spent the weekend in Monaco or somewhere, but, which would be nice. But I just feel like if I was at the level that Molly May was at and I didn't have, like, friends to do that sort of stuff with, like, I just look back on all, like, my highlights of 2021 and it's all, like, getting up in the crack of dawn and climbing a hill or going to my friend's house or doing this. Like, it just made me feel bad for her because I think I agree with what you say. Like, I wonder how she measures success, because if you make all this money and you've got a six-figure bank account by the time you're 23, like, that's great. But if you don't have anybody to do anything with or anyone to, like, share these achievements or milestones with or spend your money on, like, I just think...
I think it's...
What's it worth?
That bit interested me only because, again, I think people are different, and I do think that, like, you and I are two people that thrive off of other people's company. We like our friends. We like to... like
we hate being alone.
We like to lie in bed and hug all night in silence. I think, like, because I went into the comments, see that video of her talking about not having any friends? Uh-huh. I went into the comments and some girls said that they were like her. And the thing is about Molly Mae, I actually like Molly Mae. Like, I like her to watch.
Yeah, so do I.
She
so
seems really nice. I think she's the kind of person that if I was in her company, I'd feel instantly warm to her. I would. And I think that's why as well she's successful, because people obviously watch her vlogs and think they could be her pal. But I don't think it's a bad thing that, you know, to keep a circle small is not necessarily a bad thing. If you've got, like, a good family, she's got her sister, she's got Tommy, you know, I don't really think she needs a large number of friends.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you need loads of people, but I just think the mindset of, like, so I'm lucky because I have, like, my best friends, right? Mm-hmm. You could say maybe, and then I have, like, a wider circle and blah, 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 blah.
And your circle gets smaller as you get older.
And I think that's fine because that's, like, life. But to have the mindset of, I don't have friends because I don't have time for them. I don't know. I just think it's sad.
Yeah, it's sad to see that.
Maybe she's
like,
fucking happy. To be like, I have a small circle and I have this. That's totally different from being like, I just don't have time to be friends with anybody. Because it's like, girl. I actually like Molly Mae as well. I feel bad for these people. I feel bad for, like, the Molly Mays, the Olivia Neils, because she is from a position of privilege, right? So am I, in a lot of ways. But I am not learning these lessons in front of, like, 6.2 million people. I do feel bad for people who have to grow so publicly. Because I think that would be quite a price for the lifestyle that they lead. Because you can't really afford to make... Well, you're going to make mistakes if you're going to grow as a person. But it would be hard to make them and then look at the abuse that she's got.
Yeah, I think, to be honest as well, in a week's time, her manager will have told her... See, in like 2 weeks, people will have forgotten about this, and you're still going to keep your followers. Because, hey, let's be honest, who has really disliked her over this? Like, really disliked her? Like, so everyone's moaned about it.
Yeah,
but
see,
can you go on that basis to really cancel somebody or hate them for what they said?
But I also think it's not. She shouldn't. I don't think she should be like. I think people are totally right to be angry, and it was. You can't say something like that and not receive any backlash. But I don't think she was. Out for this. I think she honestly just doesn't have a clue. Or like when she went, sorry, this is my, I thought this was quite funny. When she went to Italy and she posted on her Instagram story and she was like, don't know what the hype is, food here's shite.
Oh yeah.
About the full country. All right, sorry, I thought it was really funny, but I was just like, what's going on in your head, man?
I
like,
know.
Don't post that shit.
Because you do compare as well. I've said this when we first met, like about 2 years ago when we first started podcasting together, and we're talking about like influencers and things. I do think influencers with their following could do more for charity, for instance. Not all of them. I'm not saying every single one you don't do good things. I just think that you could utilize your following to make real differences, and you could speak, people will listen. So
there would be a lot of sides to being an, like, I wouldn't want to be an influencer. It's not a life I would want for myself because I would be fucking too anxious. But I can see how the disconnect happens. I think I don't know because I'm not an influencer, so if you're an influencer and you listen to this, feel free to fucking disagree with me, but I think the lifestyle, like the hate comments and all that sort of stuff would be hard as an influencer. But the work, maybe it's really hard, but I just think that the problem is when influencers come out and they're like, you don't know how hard it is. And when you have, like, as you said, got like dentists and doctors and nurses,
It's a different, like, kind of hard though, because it's a mental stress.
Yeah, it's a mental... I think the backlash that you would receive would be mentally draining. But when people... And I just think, like, to the money that you can make from really doing what a lot of girls do for free, like to just wear an outfit. Well, I mean, we all get dressed, most of us. I haven't for 2 days. But we all get dressed in the morning. So if you're going to go outside your house, wear clothes that you got for free and get paid £10,000 to post it on Instagram... I don't know. I feel bad for Molly Mae because nobody fucking wants that sort of, like, the actual world of a dog pile on you, because it must feel horrific. I can't even imagine how it would feel. I would literally go into witness protection. It must be hard to be connected to reality when you just...
Mm-hmm.
get paid 60
Another
grand
thing as well, when she said, see things when people say, like, I know that she never made that quote up because somebody else said it way before her, 24 hours, you get the same 24 hours in a day as Beyonce, and just rehashed it thinking that's how she lives her days by. She has to sleep in that 24 hours. She has to eat. She has to see her kids. She has to see her family.
Beyonce has a full production.
Beyonce
has a production team.
What I'm trying to say is, like, the things that are important to Beyonce, which I'm guessing, yes, of course, the success and the money has been part of it, but those 24 hours, it's not as if, like, you're saying that Beyonce's a machine that doesn't sleep. That all she wants to do is graft and make money. No, if anything, actually, she hardly posts on her Instagram for a start about her personal life.
Yeah. She is a talented, gifted, successful woman who has worked very hard, but is very talented.
Yeah,
so, like, it's not really the same for you to say,
you
like...
You can't really compare it. She shouldn't have maybe said that, because that's been the crutch that everyone has jumped on, and I can see why.
I can see why, because Beyonce is obviously like an example of a very successful woman, so I can see why you would pick her out of the lineup. But then it's just like, oh, it just stresses me out.
That's as serious as you're going to get from Roisin and I think.
Yeah, I know. That was it. That's your seriousness of the year.
If you like to let us know,
yeah,
I know.
I like these sort of conversations because this is all I talk to people about.
Yeah, new year, new us.
Yeah.
So
this is an influencer-based podcast now.
Roisin and I were also talking, by the way, before we go, and we would like to have your feedback on the podcast. And when I say that, I mean, I know, we know you're there. We know you're listening because we get, obviously, the figures in. And we also know that you follow us on our Instagram page. But we'd like to hear from you. Roisin, I think you get more people talking to you in your DMs about the podcast than I do in mine.
I get quite a lot of people talking to me. Sometimes I feel bad because I forget to reply. Also, you've got a lot more followers than I do. So probably people will be like, assume that you won't see it.
But that's the thing. I love this podcast. And if anyone ever has ever, because I have had some messages.
Shout out to Lisa, who
emailed
us. Our first
yes.
Email. I mean,
thank you, Lisa.
Email.
That was so refreshing. That's the kind of thing
I
like.
It was.
That's what I like.
Do you know what I like?
I want to hear more.
I would like you guys to send us topic suggestions. That's what me and Cass were talking about. Topic suggestions.
And by the way, when we asked you who you want to hear from, we're listening. Like, I mean, I feel as if, you know, we're saying we're always going to ask you questions and get answers. No, we know that you want Paul Black on the podcast. We know that you have also asked for the likes of
Jamie Genevieve.
Yes, comes up a lot. And there was a lot of good names, actually. So we're working on that as well. So we're working in the background, like you're working in your background 24 hours in a day. 24.
What are you doing with your 24 hours in a day?
24/7.
We're asking people to come on the podcast. And they're saying no.
Roisin would like topic suggestions, and I would just like more love in my DMs. Okay, thank you. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
See you next week.
Oh, no, actually, see you the week after.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Nags and Brags podcast. If you are enjoying what you're hearing, let us know at Nags and Brags podcast on Instagram. You can also follow us on our own pages as well, at Pals Before Gals for Roisin, at CassCassG for myself. And let us know what you think. Spread the word, tell your friends, and hopefully we'll see you on the next episode.